Let's go to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. If you'll find verse number 13, the first chapter of 1 Peter, and then verse number 13, we'll start reading there. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse number 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that we'll take the very practical teaching from the Word of God this morning, that it would help us, Lord. I pray our hearts would be open, dear God. Lord, we want as, dear God, your children, we want as born-again Christians to obey this, to answer this call to holiness. Now, Lord, teach us how this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, I couldn't have had a more appropriate special song for what I'm going to preach this morning. We're going to talk about that early in the morning. Holy, 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 early in the morning. We're going to talk about that. I want to preach on this subject this morning, how to live holy today. How to live holy today. I know we're in a sanctification process, preacher. I've been coming, I've been listening, and I want to continue in that. But how do I do it today? How do I live a holy life today? And I'm going to give you some, I think, good help on that. I want to, again, draw your attention to verse number 15 and 16 because we're going to be leaving this chapter and going to a different place in the Bible and teaching you out of one chapter of the Bible, I believe, a morning formula that will help get you started off into your day with the right goals and the right focus and all of those things, and to help you to live every day of your life a holy life before the Lord. But draw your attention to verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And what a goal, what a command. Be ye holy, for I am holy. I want to, again, remind you of what I said in Sunday school. Listen very carefully to what I'm about to say here. Holiness in the Bible does not mean sinlessness. Now, obviously, when we talk about a holy God, he is a sinless God, okay? But that is, the word holiness does not correlate with the idea of sinlessness. Holiness is the result of a determined decision to embrace a consecrated, dedicated life. It is a daily decision to seek to set yourself apart from worldliness and to instead embrace godliness. So this is a decision that I think needs to be a daily decision. Can I say it this way? A holy life is lived one holy day at a time. I don't know about you, but I think that's enough of a goal for Jerry Ross, all right? I think if I can just handle today. I think one of the great secrets to living a successful life is to live the day that you're living, okay? We can waste today with regrets or about yesterday. We can waste today worrying about tomorrow, or we can live today for the Lord Jesus Christ to the very best of our ability. And I believe this matter of a holy life is lived one day at a time. I'm going to give you a formula. I really mean that. Not always the Bible gives formulas, but I believe the Bible gives us a good formula for this. I believe that if you start every day answering this challenge, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I think if you'll take the morning time and meet with God, listen to me, I want to help you. If you want to live holy today, if you want to start tomorrow living a holy life, it's got to start with what you do every single morning, okay? No one can live a holy life without God's help. Our time in the presence of God each morning and the prayers and promises we make during that time can and will help us live holy for that day. Every morning, presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. A man wrote this poem: I met God in the morning when my day was at its best, and his presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long the presence lingered, all day long he stayed with me, and we sailed in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered, other ships were sore distressed, but the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mine, when I too had loosed the moorings with the presence left behind. So I think I know the secret, learned from many a troubled way. You must seek him in the morning if you want him through the day. I'm going to have you go to Colossians chapter 3, and I want to show you this formula. Folks, listen to me. I'm going to take a Sunday morning, and I'm going to teach a Bible study. I'm just going to go ahead and warn you. Young people, I promise you this. Listen, I don't have 15 funny stories, 7 jokes, and 6 dramatic illustrations. But what I give you this morning can absolutely change your life. If you'll listen to what the preacher says, and if you'll try it tomorrow morning, I'm talking about you get up tomorrow morning, and you go through the process that I'm going to teach you right now, then you know what? You can begin to live a holy life. It doesn't mean that you're going to be sinless, but it'll help you to sin less. And it'll help you to get your focus in your mind and get a good start and get committed to some things and make some promises to God and purpose in your heart each morning about some things. Now you're at Colossians chapter 3, okay? If you got a pen, I'm going to have you circle some things, okay? I'd love you to circle these words I'm going to tell you to circle, because I hope that you'll use Colossians chapter 3. If you'll use this over the next 30 days, every single morning, go to Colossians chapter 3, walk through this formula that I'm going to tell you. If you do it for 30 days, I believe it will become a habit of life for you, and I believe you'd look back at 30 days where you were not sinless and you were not perfect, but you will have experienced what it is to live a holy life. Look at verse number 2. The very first word in verse number 2 is the word set. Set. All right? That's the first word that I want you to circle. Look at verse number 5. The very first word in that verse is mortify. Mortify. Circle that word. Circle that word. All right? Now to go down to verse number 8, you'll find just into the first part of the verse the two words put off. Circle that, put off, put off. In verse number 9, you're going to find the same two words, put off, put off. All right, so far we've got set, mortify. Verse 8, put off. Verse 9, put off. Now, in verse number 10, you're going to see two words, put on. Put on. You find that? All right. In verse number 12, the first two words, put on. Put on. In verse number 14, this putting on stuff takes a little bit of time, okay? Verse 14, and above all these things, there it is again, put on. I'm giving you a formula. Set in verse 2, mortify in verse 5, the two words put off in verse 8, and again put off in verse 9. In verse 10, put on. In verse 12, put on. Verse 14, put on. All right, we there so far? The very first word in verse number 16 is the word let. Circle that word, let. Let. Now verse number 17, and whatsoever ye do, do is the word, circle do in verse number 17. And it's again in verse number 17, there it is again. circle it the second time. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll go down to verse number 23 and you'll find it twice, back to back right there. Whatsoever ye do, circle that one. The next word after that, comma, do, circle that one. And then the last word that I want you to circle is verse number 24, the word knowing. Knowing. All right? Hopefully I didn't lose you. Let me review. In verse number 2, the very first word is the word set. Verse number 5, mortify. Verse number 7, put off. Verse number 9, put off. Verse number 10, put on. Verse number 12, put on. Verse number 14, put on. Verse number 16, let. Verse number 17, do. And then again, the same word. Verse number 23, twice, do. Two times there. And verse number 24, the word knowing. Now, what you've been given there is priceless. Some of you circled, some of you jotted it down, some of you aren't going to do anything about it anyway, and that's fine. Because a decision to live a holy life has to be an individual decision. It's never going to be made by people who don't have a heart for God. It's not made by people who think they've arrived. I get it. But I'm telling you, your life can be transformed. Your life can be changed. And here's the formula. Set, mortify, put off, put on, let, do, and know. You know, you can take about 15, 20 minutes every single morning of your life and go through that formula, and the chances of you living a holy life that day has just been multiplied. Because for one thing, you've proved to God that you're serious about it. Okay, that he's important enough to be the first person that you interact with every single day. That you truly have a heart for God. I'm going to go through this formula and we're going to teach it. Again, I'm going to ask you to discipline yourself. I'm going to ask you to concentrate on purpose. I'm going to ask you to not need, humor, a lot of humor and a lot of work on my part. I shouldn't have to stand on my head, juggle balls with my feet to get you to listen. I'm going to ask, after a month of preaching on this, do you have a heart for holiness? I'm telling you right now that you can every day of your life live a holy life for that day. I didn't say a sinless life, but I said a holy life. And I'm going to help you with that. Let's go through this formula this morning. Let's go back to chapter number 3 and let's begin reading in verse number 1. The first word is set. Set. What do we need to set first thing in the morning? Verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, this is where it's got to start. The first thing that you ought to do as you're approaching your time with the Lord is you ought to get down on your knees if you're able to. And by the way, listen to me. I think you ought to get down on your knees if you're able to. You know what? I think God understands. If you have a physical condition where you can't do that, I think God understands. I also think that there's something important about us bowing our knee to God. Getting on our knees before God. You know what that is? That's a sign of submission. That's a mark of humility. Also, I kept wanting to say humanity. Humility. Sadly, it's not a mark of humanity. It's a mark of humility. You know what it's saying to God? You know what, God? You're the master and I'm the servant. You're the Lord and I'm the servant. You're God. You're God. And I bow before you on bended knee. And the first thing you ought to do then is make a conscious decision. I am this day going to set my affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. That idea is reinforced in 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Everybody in here has made a choice as a Christian. Your first love is the world, or your first love is God, but they're not equal, and you can't do both of them together. And that means, Lord, everything on this earth, you know what, is secondary. The things of this earth, the concerns of this earth is secondary. The things that I even care about on this earth are secondary. I'm setting my affection on things above, not on things of this earth. So the first thing you have to do is set your heart. Listen, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven. It isn't going to matter if you don't first get your heart fixed and your love fixed on the things of God. God ought to hear from your mouth, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. Dear Holy Spirit, I love you. God, I love the things that you love, and I want you to know my affections and my heart is on things that are above, not on all this junk down here. And Lord, that's where my focus is going to be, and that's where my love is going to be directed. Listen, when Peter and that other group of six disciples backslid in John chapter 21, the only way that Jesus could get them back where they needed to get to was ask Peter three times, lovest thou me, lovest thou me. There's nothing in your Christian life that can't be fixed if you'll decide that you're going to set your affection on the Lord Jesus Christ and on the things above and put him number one in your life. If you'll do that, that's the first step. Set. Very simple. We won't spend a lot of time on number two. It's important that you understand this next phrase, mortify, this next word, mortify. Okay, I've set my heart and my affections towards heaven. I've decided I'm going to love God and love the things that God loves. That's where my heart is going to be today. The next thing that God commands us to do right after we set our affections on things above is the word mortify. Now, the word mortify, if you study it out, it means to kill. That's what it means, to kill. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Now, folks, we're talking about this matter of holiness. Some of this is review for those of you that may hear all of the services, and we've dealt with this. One of the first services we dealt with was, folks, you cannot do the sanctification of the flesh. You cannot cleanse the flesh of all filthiness without dealing with this idea, listen to me, of moral failings. I'm going to tell you something, that the very sin that the devil is making the centerpiece in this culture is the very thing that you have to mortify. It's not only keeping people from getting saved, it's keeping Christians from living a holy life. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm going to be as specific as I can with the group we have here. Listen to me. What's the Bible saying, verse 5? Mortify, therefore, your members. Your members is talking about the members of your body. Members is talking about your body, your hands. We talk about lifting up holy hand in Sunday school. Talk about, listen, we ought to dedicate every member of our body to God. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And you have a semicolon there. Now, here's the list. Here's the things you've got to mortify. Here's the things you've got to kill. Preacher, I just got down on my knees, yes. And I just told God I'm going to put my heart on him and my affections on him. Yes. And then right after that, I need to do what? Deal with your flesh. Deal with your flesh. It's one thing to say, I love you, God. It's another thing to turn around and make your body an idol that you worship more than you worship the God you just said that you love. And there's some things that God says, listen, you don't grow out of this stuff. You don't play around with it. This isn't a 6-month, 9-month project. This isn't something that you weed out over 4 years' time. He says there's some things that after you're saved, when you turn your heart to heaven, you turn around and you annihilate, you kill, you put them to death. And what is these things? Fornication. What is fornication? All of these sins, by the way, everything on this list are sins of the flesh, directly related to both mental and moral purity. Mental and moral purity. 1 Corinthians 15:31, I protest by your rejoicing that I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. There's some things that's got to die right away or you don't have a chance of living a holy life that day. What are they, preacher? Fornication. What's that? To be active in any form of unbiblical sexual activity. To indulge in any sexual appetites outside of the marriage relationship. You know what? If you're not willing to kill that, mortify that, then you know what? You're never going to get to holiness. You're not serious about living a holy life. This is not something to play around with, all right? Young people, it's not something to play around with. All right, married men, married women, it's not something to play around with. To be active in any form of unbiblical sexual activity, to indulge any sexual appetites outside of the marriage relationship is fornication, uncleanness. What does that mean, preacher? You can look up these words like I did. Any physical or moral impurities. Inordinate affection means this: to stir oneself to passions outside the boundaries of biblical morality. It's all the same stuff, folks. It's just different levels of the same stuff. Fornication is the activity itself. Uncleanness is the result of that activity. The physical or moral impurities that becomes a lifestyle. Inordinate affection is the stirring of one's passions outside the boundaries of biblical morality. Evil concupiscence, to entertain mentally. That's right up here. I'm talking about mental sins. To entertain mentally any lust for something that's been forbidden of God. Covetousness, any mental exercise centered around forming a plan to obtain something that God says belongs to somebody else. Now listen to me, America. Listen to me, American Christians. You know what? This idea that you can be a born-again Christian and play around and dabble around in out of bounds, out of boundary, sexual sins is just so against the laws of God. It's time that American Christians got serious about living a holy life. And that holy life has to begin with the crucifying of your flesh. I die daily. I'm mortifying these things. What are you talking about? I'm going to go over the whole thing when I get done. I'm going to show you at the end of this. I want to act it out. I want to show you that if you'll do these things every single day in the order that God's dealing with them in this chapter, I can tell you, you can get off of your knees with the touch of God and the power of God and a determination. And I'm not saying sometime during the day you're not going to mess up and you're going to, but I'll tell you what, it'll drive you right to your knees and you're going to want to get it right immediately and you're not going to want to wallow in it. And because you know what? Holiness is a call of God upon our lives. And God wants us to be holy like He's holy. So what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about any sins of the flesh directly related to mental or moral purity. That means when you're on your knees mortifying these things, the Holy Spirit's going to say, what about that website? And what about that hidden file? And what about this picture? And what about this movie? And you know what? You're going to have to get up sometimes off your knees and go and throw some stuff away and burn some stuff and delete some stuff. And listen, get rid of it. Get it out of your life. It's destroying a young generation. It's destroying our teenagers. So much are available to them. Their minds are so perverted. The average American teenager, their mind's so perverted by the time they're 15, 16, 17, they can't even have a moment of a holy thought. They're just, you know, that stuff is just running us. Christians, don't play around with it. Get it right. Kill it. Mortify it. It's off. It's done. All right. So that means before you get it, the first thing you do, you set your affection to God. Then you deal with these sins specifically. And you make pledges and promises to God and beg for God's help. And preacher, it's hard. I didn't say it was easy. I said it's necessary. Well, I just can't. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Yes, you can. Well, it's become a habit. Well, then kill that habit. Kill it. Nuke it. Build accountability in your life. But if you play around with this and you've got some of this junk going on your side, then you know what? A whole month of teaching on holiness isn't going to help. It's your first step. It's your first problem. And by the way, it's not really your first. Your first is set your affection on things above. Because if your heart really, you really had a heart for God, then you'd love Him more than you love that junk. Okay. What do you love the most? Now the third one is this. Put off. Put off. Okay, all right. We had to deal. God says there's some things that you mortify and there's some things you put off. Again, these are things that you're going to deal with day by day. These are things that sometimes it takes some grace and some growth and some working on. And okay, this other list I just went over, you don't grow out of that. You just get a bazooka and all right. You blow it to smithereens. You don't milk yourself out, milk yourself off. You're done. You're done. Yep. Now these other things. The Bible talks about putting them off. And by the way, I want you to keep thinking in your mind. All of this is happening. This process is happening as you are on your knees before the Lord preparing for a day. You know, I want us to get serious again about living a holy life before the Lord. Holiness is not sinlessness, but holiness ought to make you sin less. And a desire for holiness, a desire and a decision to set yourself apart from this world and all of its filth and separate yourself unto God and His ways and His word, it's possible. It's being done. People are doing it. You can do it, but you have to first set your heart. Then you have to mortify. Number three, put off. What do we put off? Verse 8 and 9. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Wow, wonder why God gives that particular list. What if you dealt with those every single morning? If you said, okay, Lord, you know what, I've set my heart. And dear God, Lord, I'm exercising no patience. There's no place in my life. There's no provision for this stuff. There's no allowance for this junk. Now, Lord, there's other sins that I'm going to have to, this morning, I'm going to have to put them off before I get off on my knees, because every single one of us is susceptible to these sins, and they are, remember the cleansing yourself of all filthiness of the flesh, those of you Wednesday night crowd, and of the spirit. We're getting ready to do the spirit right now. This is the inward stuff, okay? Put your seatbelt on. Oh, preacher, I don't need this. I'm going through the list. I beg the Holy Spirit this morning, Lord, I don't want you to take a little teeny needle. I want you to take a 16-penny nail. And when I talk about some of these things, people need to feel that type of pricking of the Holy Spirit of God, because we act as if these sins are not a big deal and they are killing us more. I believe that there are secret sins that absolutely are killing Christians. And I mean, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't chew, you don't run with those that do. But you know what? These interior things are destroying you and keeping you from being all you. What are they? What are they, preacher? Anger and wrath. Anger and wrath. So you're on your knees. You've set your heart. You've mortified the flesh, crucified the flesh, died daily. And then you begin to say, Lord, now here's some things I've got to put off, God. Oh, Lord, don't let these things touch me. Don't let me harbor a place in my heart for them. What is anger? Anger is an inward violent passion, a wrong passion against something or somebody. What is wrath? What's the difference between anger and wrath? Anger is the inside harboring of that violent passion or hatred towards somebody, and the wrath is the outward manifestation of that. Okay. By the way, man, you get serious about this, you'll get up off your knees. And by the way, you won't belittle your wife that day. You won't lose your temper over every little silly thing that happens. You'll find that you can be a lot more patient with the kids. Okay. Lord, when I begin to feel that, begin to write, and come on, you know it. When you begin to feel that arise, say, Lord, I know I'm putting this off. I made you a pledge. I made you a promise today. I'm not doing this. Okay? Anger is the inward violent passion fueled by hatred or frustration. Wrath is the outward manifestation, the blowing up or the blowing over of those things. Malice. What if we have to deal with malice every single morning? What does that mean, preacher? What is malice? To wish ill on others. Think about this. Malice is to secretly harbor thoughts of evil or injury or revenge against somebody else. It's a hateful desire for revenge. Now, wait a minute. Now you're on your knees and you've got to say, okay, Lord, next thing I need to put off is malice. And I promise you, come on, that somebody or somebodies, God's going to put their face right here. Yeah, but preacher, you don't know. No, I know. No. But preacher, if you had any idea, I get it. I don't understand. I've never lived your life. I get it. But I promise you, there's not a person in here that hasn't been offended. There isn't a person in here that hasn't been wronged. There hasn't been a person in here that hasn't been purposely hurt by somebody else. But I cannot get to holiness. The Bible, Jesus, or God said this, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You know what? None of your business, son. He has to remind Jerry Ross of that. Hey, that's none of your business. This whole idea of vengeance, judgment, who, when, how, what, none of your business. You just focus on following me. None of your business. Okay? Because I promise you, if you've got that thing in there, it is keeping you from being everything you could be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't this good for us? anger, a lot of your anger and wrath is because you haven't dealt with the malice. Okay? Then blasphemy, what does that mean? To speak evil of that which is good, especially towards God? Lord, don't let in anything that happens to me today, don't let anything that happens to me or mine today cause me to speak anything evil against you. Something happens in our life, and I think God's tired of being blamed for bad. I always say this, the devil does it and God gets blamed for it. And the devil hits two home runs instead of one. He hurts you, runs around, sits on your shoulder and tells you, isn't God terrible? And you fall for it. Now folks, listen to me. I'm not going to bring an accusation against God. If Job can go through everything he went through in one day, and yet he did not speak one accusation against God, and instead he praised the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Then what did he say? Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, preacher, I don't know if that's in me. It's not in me either. Listen, this stuff doesn't come wired into us. This isn't part of what we are. That's why we had to kill that stinking flesh. I'm talking about cleaning, sanctifying, cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of our spirit. What are we talking about? Anger and wrath, malice, blasphemy, speaking evil against people or God. Evil communications, vile, shameful, or base conversations. Folks, this old thing here, come on, we could go to James chapter 3. I don't have time if I'm going through all this, but this stupid little thing out here, it got to give you a little problem than anything else you got. Amen. For those of you listening on the radio, I was pointing at my tongue there, okay? So I wasn't having a seizure, and I'm okay, all right? So. Come on. Lord, I'm putting these things off. Lord, it's not my business. Anger, wrath, I'm not allowing that to rule in my life. I'm going to pray for my enemies and wish good on them. I am not going to have a heart full of malice. I'm not going to speak evil against you or anyone else because something doesn't go my way. And I'm not going to let this tongue get involved in any vile, shameful, or base conversations. And young people, there's some things that honestly you should not be talking about. They're not funny. They're not something to joke about. And you ought to take it serious before the Lord. Okay? Then this idea of lying. Okay? And that's the last one that's being dealt with here. Lie not one to another. Preacher, it sounds like this might take a little time. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be good? I hear people pray, they sing that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer. I can't even imagine praying for an hour. How in the world do you pray for an hour? You decide that you want to get serious about holiness? Because I don't know about you, but it takes a good bit of time every morning to get Jerry Ross straightened out and headed on the right track so I can go out and just to get me ready to walk out the door. Okay, because my natural inclination isn't any of these things. Okay, and so Lord, you know what? What about this matter of lying? Lord, today, don't allow me to be less than 100% honest with myself, with others, and with God. Lord, help me to seek out the truth. Don't allow me to fail to embrace the truth. Lord, I don't want to be caught up in lies and lying. So you put those things off. Wow, good. Empty, 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 empty. Now you've created a vacuum. Okay, you're going to be like that parable, you know, where the demon left, they swept it out, here they come. You don't leave it empty, we're not done yet. What's the next word or phrase? Put on. Okay, so I've set my affection, I've mortified the flesh, I put off and ask God to help me with these areas of my life. I'm getting off of me, I'm getting those things off of me. But wait a minute, verse 10 and 11, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. But Christ is all in all. But Christ is all in all. What are you putting on here, preacher? Christ's likeness. I get an opportunity now to get rid of what Jerry Ross is and become like Jesus Christ. I said this to a guy this week, and he thought it was the funniest thing. I said, some of the dumbest, most humanistic advice that I hear even Christians and preachers give from the pulpit is, listen, you just got to be yourself. You need to be yourself. Stop trying to be like someone else. Be yourself. First of all, and that's a lofty goal. Okay, watch this. Bing, I'm myself. That took a lot of effort. By the way, since when am I the goal or you're the goal? How about we stop telling everybody to start, you got to be yourself, you got to be yourself. No, the Bible standard is to be like Jesus Christ. And I understand what they're saying. I don't think you ought to spend your life trying to be like other people, but let's not take Jesus out of the equation. The goal is Christ-likeness. Christ is all in all. So how do we put that on? Having put on this new man, Christ is all in all. Verse number 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. So since we are the elect of God, because we are the holy and beloved of God, there's certain things that we ought to put on. And again, God gives us a list. Preacher, I don't know about these lists. Well, these lists will help you. They're in the Bible for a reason. Here it is. Here's the list. Number one. Bowels of mercy. So I want to put on mercy. What is mercy? What is it to be merciful? It means to show pity on people. To show pity on people. I'm not going to go deep in all these. Kindness. What does kindness mean? It means that every opportunity you have that day to bestow goodness on somebody else that God puts in your path, you ought to take advantage of it. Sometimes it's just a word that you can say, something that's a deed that you can do. But there's opportunities all around you to be kind to somebody. And now we're talking about holiness. Humility of mind. Humility of mind. To place yourself low. To not think too highly of yourself. Now remember, you're on your knees and you're going through this process and you're asking God for these things and asking God for help in these things. Meekness. To treat others with gentleness. Gentleness. Stop being a bull in a china shop. Stop running over everybody around you. Stop talking over everybody around you. Stop belittling everybody around you. You know what? Be meek. Learn to treat people gently and carefully. Long suffering. That means to exercise patience. Forbearance. You're going to have to, every day of your life, learn to bear some things that are unpleasant. You just bear them. To endure for the good of others, to be willing to suffer inconvenience for the good of someone else, forgiveness, to grant a pardon to deliver someone from their guilt. I know this is a Bible study. I feel like I'm here on a Wednesday night. But folks, do you understand that holiness, we act like it's this impossible thing and nobody can ever be holy. And why are you wasting a month preaching on holiness? And God says, would not have asked us to be something we are not able to do. And God teaches us how to be holy. And you can live a holy life. You can live a holy life. But it has to be a morning commitment, a morning determination to live opposite of your old man, opposite of this world. It doesn't happen by accident. It has to be something you commit to, make a decision about, fix your heart to, pursue throughout the day, and ask God's help in every step of the way. So now we've put on some things. We got off that anger and wrath, and let's replace that with some mercy. Malice, how about some kindness and humility? Blasphemy, let's get rid of that. Let's get meekness and long-suffering. And lying, let's forbear and forgive instead. Let's forbear and forgive instead. Now, folks, listen to me. We haven't even got off our knees yet. But we're not ready to get off our knees yet. Jump out of bed, you don't touch your Bible. Never have any time before the Lord, no preparation for the day. We wonder why, man, we're sitting ducks. The devil's like shooting fish in a barrel. It's not hard for him to throw us off our track and get our minds on everything but what we ought to and having us behave like heathen half the time and saying stuff that if God was standing right there, and he is, we wouldn't say. And texting things and sending things and having conversations and having a spirit about us that's anti-God and anti-good, and what in the world? Man, the answer's here. But you know what? You aren't going to do any of that just because you decide to turn over a new leaf or you're just going to do it through willpower. It's got to happen at the throne of God, at the throne of grace. And with God's help, you can get up and you can live a life that actually means something for the Lord. I know this is a lot, but look at number five, let. Let. That word let, notice that. Verse number 15 and 16. Now, the Bible told us that we are to set. That's something we can do. Mortify, that's something we need to do. Put off, that's something we need to do with God's help. Put on, that's something we need to do. Now, this matter of let, that kind of comes in the idea of, okay, you can't do this, but you've got to let it happen to you. Now, folks, I want you to get this. The first several steps here are things that God expects us to do. I want you to set your affection. I want you to mortify. I want you to put off. I want you to put on. And by the way, if you'll do that, by the time you get to the end of put on, then God can step in and you then just, watch this, get out of the way, open your heart, and let God do some things. Okay, watch this, okay? That's why your prayer time isn't just you talking to God. Sometimes that prayer time involves some waiting before God. Okay, I did this. I sat and I mortified and I put off and I put on. And man, I'm late. Set still. Be quiet. God says, be still and know that I'm God. And there's some things that I can't conjure up. I can't fake. What is it? You're curious. I like it that you're already looking. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Now, wait a minute. I've done all these first four steps. Wouldn't it be a good time at this point to reach over and get the Bible involved with what I'm doing right now? How can I let the word of God dwell in me richly if I don't take some time now and open the Bible? Hey, by the way, at this point, you're ready to read the Bible. At this point, you probably can start getting something out of it. At this point, it does make, I'd read it, but it don't make sense. It don't make sense if you don't set, mortify, put on, and put off. It's not going to make much sense. Okay? Now you reach over, and all of a sudden, the Bible's included. Now, I'm just going to read the Bible, Lord, and it's time for me to just let. Let what? The word of Christ dwell in me richly. And by the way, richly, I love that, richly. This ought to be sweet time, meaningful time. I mean, folks, listen, this is a value. Come on now. Let not just let the word of Christ be scanned over quickly by your eyes, okay, so you can check your box. That's not what makes you a good Christian. That does not make you holy. It's when you let the word of God find a lodging place in your heart and begin to richly affect you. And as it does, all of a sudden, watch this, from the pages of God's word, because you've got yourself in a position and in a frame of mind and frame of heart to receive it, all of a sudden, for the first time, wisdom starts coming out of the pages of this book. And as you're reading it, all of a sudden, you know what you need to do about this situation, and you know what you need to do to overcome this, and you know what you need to do to help this person, and you know what you need to emphasize in your Sunday school class, and you know you what to say to that kid that hasn't come in 3 weeks on your bus route. I'm telling you, that's where God starts speaking back to you, and this is time for us to just be still and know that I am God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching it, admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In this letting it of it happen, it starts with the word of God. God puts his word in you, therefore the wisdom of God. And then that begins to generate a song in your heart. God puts a song in your heart. Can you imagine? When's the last time you walked out of your house singing a song in your heart, already on the victory side? Bring it on. Whatever the devil has, me and Jesus can handle it together. We're jumping up, we're rushing out. We have no time, no preparation, no time before the Lord. And then we just can't. I don't know why. Preacher, you don't understand. I've tried to give this up, but I just can't, so I'm just going to quit. Come on, no, neither could I if I didn't take some time. Listen, I don't know if I've got anything past today. I'm not giving you a formula this morning on how to live a holy life. I'm telling you how you can live holy today. I'm giving you a one-day formula that'll work if you just keep repeating it. You don't get to do it on Monday and it's good till Saturday. Be nice. Doesn't happen. No, it wouldn't be nice either. It wouldn't be nice either, because God deserves to see our face every single day of our life. Woo! There's some things you just let. Let the peace of God, notice what it says, verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. I missed that first let in verse 15. Folks, listen to me. I got out of order here. I got excited. What happens? You know what? You do these steps. You go through the process of setting your affection, mortifying this stupid millstone sins of the flesh that's keeping you, you know, devil's taking you captive at his will. You put off that inward junk. You put on the right stuff. And then all of a sudden, you just let some things happen. What happens? The peace of God begins to rule in your heart. What happens? All of a sudden you regain that spirit of thankfulness instead of a constant spirit of criticism. What happens? All of a sudden you grab the Bible over and begin to read it, and the Word of God begins to dwell in you richly, and you begin to think wise thinking, wise thoughts. Next thing you know, you've got a psalm or a hymn or a spiritual song singing, and you know what you get? A measure of the grace of God, a measure of the grace of God. Sounds like we're just about ready to get up off our knees and maybe get into the day. Which brings us to word number six, do. Do. And whatsoever you do. Okay. Now I'm heading out the door. I got my to-do list. But you know what? I'm ready. My affections are set on Christ. I've mortified that. I am not gonna let these stupid, meaningless, guilt-ridden sins of the flesh ruin another day in my life. I'm not going to walk around with this anger and malice and unkind. I put it off. I put on the characteristics of Jesus Christ. And then I pulled my Bible over and the peace of God and a thankful spirit and wisdom. And now, you know what? Hey, folk, preacher, I'm not a monk. I can't live. Okay, I know that. Now you're heading out the door. You're going to go do some things for your family. You're going to do some things for the Lord. What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, here you go. How do you live a holy life? Okay, Lord, here I go. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not going to be involved in doing anything that does not bring glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, how do you actually live out a holy life? It's in this point right here, number six, in what you do. Whatever you do, make sure that you can do it in the name of Jesus. Whatever you do, make sure you can give thanks to God while you're doing it. Then the next verses, number 18, 19, 20, and 21, begins to talk about relationships. You bring that positive, you bring the positive attributes of the new man into every relationship. And all of a sudden you're enjoying relationships, not enduring relationships. Then we jump down to verse 23, and whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord, not to man. So all of a sudden I get up on my knees and it's time to start the day. And you know what? If I'm going to be involved with it, then I'm going to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And if I can't do something in the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm not being involved with it. And I'm going to have a thankful heart to God while I'm doing it. And by the way, in my relationship, in my own family, and it starts in the family and it goes in the workplace, I'm going to bring these positive attributes to Christ, this new man attributes, into every relationship. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to show mercy and be kind and be humble and be meek and be long-suffering and forbear and forgive. And you know what? It's going to transform the relationships in my life. And then I'm going to say this, God, whatever I do, I'm going to put my heart into it. I'm going to do it heartily. And Lord, I'm going to do it as if I'm doing it for you and not for men. I think you're probably doing pretty good by now. I think you got a chance to put your head on your pillow at night and not be guilt-ridden. I'm not saying you're going to pull off a perfect day. I never have. And neither of you. May not be able to be sinless, but I believe this will help me sin less. And by the way, when you are striving for these things and these are your goals, when you do fall short of it, instead of it just being the standard way you live, all of a sudden conviction comes and God comes. And folks, aren't you glad you can stop in any moment of every day and just say, Lord, I messed up there. And Lord, dear God, I made promises and pledges to you. And Lord, thank you for remembering that I'm dust, and thank you for being forgiven. But Lord, I don't want to disappoint you. Lord, help me to learn. Help me to do better the rest of the day. And you just get up and start over again. Listen, God did not. I want to help some of you. God, I think the devil has convinced so many Christians, well, I just can't do it. God, listen, God never intended you to live a life as a daily failure when it comes to the things of God. He didn't intend that. And he didn't say, be ye holy for I'm holy, and set this unreachable bar that he can spend the rest of his life just making us feel guilty about not getting. He's got a formula here. The last one is this: know. Look at verse 24 and 25. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Man, to spend a day just serving the Lord Christ, knowing. What's the last word? Know. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive. Preacher, where do I get the motivation, encouragement to get up off when I fall and keep going? You motivate and encourage yourself with this thought. Even if nobody else notices and nobody understands and nobody appreciates my obedience to God, my sincere attempt to live a holy life, God sees it and he promises that he's going to reward me for it. And by the way, isn't the other side of that coin also true? But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And so God basically at the end of that says, you're going to choose to live your life one way or the other this today. I mean, how do you live holy for today? You can do that, or you can just go out and not believe my promises and act like it's no big deal and not care about it and not even make an attempt. And you know what? I promise you, I'm going to reward that too. Wouldn't it be good to live your life in such a way where the blessing of God is just a normal thing? The rewards of God is a normal thing? Folks, listen to me. I want you to get this. This is not taught everywhere. This is not preached everywhere. I'm talking about even in the circle of truly born-again believers. There is more pulpits encouraging carnality or allowing carnality than calling for holiness. Can I say this? Come on. I'm teaching you how to be one of God's favorites. Oh, God doesn't play favorites. You better study the word favor in the Bible. There's some things that you do, he will extend favor to you. And if you don't do them, he'll withhold favor. And listen, we're in a Laodicean age. We're a bunch of Christians look more like the world than they do the Savior. And they act like more the world than they do the Savior. And you know what? Good. Now, I just kind of feel like that the 20 or 30 minutes might be worth it to have an entire day where God looks down and says, finally. Finally, it's not just a game. Finally, somebody's taking me seriously. Finally, somebody challenged me back and said, Lord, okay, you said to be holy, for I am holy. Well, Lord, I need your help. You know what? You've asked me this, and I can't do it without you. You got to help me. And I think God said, finally. Finally. What are you talking about, preacher? Stay with me. Watch this, okay? This is what I'm talking about. You start the morning with these seven words. The first thing you do is you get on your knees before a holy God like this. You say, God, Lord, today, my affections, my heart, my love, number one, first great commandment, I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. Lord, I'm promising you that. I pledge that to you. Lord, if anything crowds near you or finds its way above you, please convict me, God. I'll repent of it. Please convict. Lord, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Holy Spirit of God, I love you. Please talk to me today and help me today. My affections are set. Lord, I'm made out of this junk. And the devil knows every trick in the book, and the whole world out there is run over with sexuality and temptations against morality. And Lord, I can't do that stuff. You have no patience with that stuff. Lord, I need you to cleanse my mind. I need you to cleanse my heart. I need you to protect my eye gates. I need you to give me the character to look away when I need to look away. And dear God, to cast down every thought and every imagination that rises, that lifts itself up above the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I can do this with your help. Help me, speak to me, give me the power. Lord, I'm killing these things. I'm not entertaining them. I've made no provision for them. I'll have no patience with them. Lord, you've got to help me with this. And then, Lord, there's stuff that every single one of us have to deal with, Lord. Every single one of us have to fight, Lord. I get mad too easily sometimes. And then that spills over and hurts people. So God, please help me with this thing with anger and wrath. Dear God, Lord, yeah, there's people. There's people out there that declared themselves my enemy. I'm not their enemy. They, for some reason, need to be my enemy. And there's people that just seem like they've got to do things to try to hurt. And Lord, what I want to do is I want to have revenge and I want to fight back. But God, Jesus didn't answer a word. And if he can do it, I can do it. And Lord, I'm going to begin to pray for him. By the way, this would be a good place just to call their names out. Pray good on them. Pray good on them. Are you serious? Yeah, I'm got quiet here. Pray good on them. You mean like a good tornado? No, no. A good car wreck? No, no. Good on them. And then all of a sudden, it's all right, I've put these things off. Now I've got to put some things on. Lord, help me to be merciful in the same way you were merciful to me. Not because I deserved it, mercy. Help me to be kind. Lord, sometimes I just run right past people. I don't stop. Lord, help me to think of things to say that's kind, that'll help people. What can I do to be kind? Lord, help me to be humble in my heart, Lord. Don't allow me to be lifted up with pride, dear God. I mean, if Paul can say he's the chiefest of sinners, God, I ought to be able to say I'm the chiefest of chiefest and mean it. Lord, I'm nothing. I'm not better than anybody else. Keep me down where I need to be, Lord. Give me a meekness and a long-suffering, a forbearance, dear God. I'm going to face some things that aren't easy, but just give me the character to endure what I need to endure, just carry what I need to carry, and to do it with a sweet spirit about me. And Lord, if somebody does do something, dear God, I want forgiveness to be available. And by the way, Lord, that's all I know to do except to pick your word up. But I need the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And I need a thankful heart. And I'm going to read the Bible. And now it's time for me to just shut up. And I'm listening. And I need you to do some things that I can't do right now so I can get up from here and actually live a Christian life and let people see Jesus. And then I get up and I say, all right, here we go. All right, Lord, as I go out there, I want to do everything I do, be able to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus with thankful in my heart for the Father. Lord, help me in all my relationships. That's where I'm most prone to mess up. So help me to be the right kind of husband, right kind of dad, right kind of grandpa, right kind of pastor, right kind of neighbor, God. And Lord, whatever you do tell me to do, I want to give my whole heart to it. And I want to do it in such a way when I get done, I can look up and I can know that it pleased you, even if nobody else sees it, knows it, it don't matter. And Lord, I'm going to live my life today knowing this and believing this. That if I make a real-hearted effort, the best Jerry Ross can be, that you've promised to reward it. Thank you for that. But Lord, if I turn my back on this and begin to live opposite, I know what to expect also. So Lord, help me to just keep doing the right thing. And I'm going to trust you to be fair with me. You might be able to get out the driveway now. You might have a chance to go out and really make a difference in somebody's life. You might be able to get your neighbors to sit in a pew with you one of these days. Or win that family member that you haven't even been able to get near. By the way, parents, you might be able to get some prayers answered that you haven't been able to get answered yet. Don't come to me and say, preacher, it's impossible to live holy. Holiness is not sinlessness. But it's a determined decision, daily determined decision. And I'm going to separate myself from worldliness and sin, and I'm going to embrace God's word and his ways to the best of my ability. I'm going to try to live like Jesus today. And you know what? You can do it. Preacher, we've gone 30 days a month preaching on holiness. What if we did the next 30 where I'm not preaching on holiness, but we decide to just be holy? What if for 30 days, preacher, I don't know if I buy into this, would you do it for 30 days? Would you do it for 30 days? Man alive. God hasn't lowered his standards. He hasn't looked down and said, well, it's 2018. I really need to give this holiness thing a rest. Obviously, people have de-evolved to the point where they're not capable. Baloney, baloney, baloney. Every single man and woman in the Bible that you want to read about that was used in an extraordinary way understood what it was to separate themselves from the things that made them ordinary and get to a God that could help them be extraordinary. And that same God's waiting for you. And he's waiting for you early tomorrow morning. Early tomorrow morning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Help us, Lord. We need your help. We can't do this. Without you, we can't do it. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to live a holy life. Today, tomorrow, the next day. But Lord, we've got to do it one day at a time. We don't get to live 2 days at a time, 3 days at a time, a week at a time. You gave us a day at a time. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us take this little Bible formula and just discover that you delight in those that seek you early. Lord, help our people. The devil has got everything waiting out the door. When he sees a Christian decide that they're going to live a holy life, we've taught it in Sunday school, the devil goes on a campaign to try to make profane that which you have declared to be holy. So we understand that this is going to involve some battles and some testing, but Lord, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord.